can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Don, this is... Now, you're just going to have to bear with me. I don't know that we'll actually put this to air or we'll upload it because we do this podcast for our own benefit. We don't ask for any... I don't even know what I'm saying. We don't do this for financial gain, although we should because it costs all of us money to do it. And so we do what we want to do, and I want to do this. And if you would like some time to do what you want to do at any stage during any podcast we do, I'll sit back and listen to you. But if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to mention a sort of a week I've had. I'm very happy to talk about anything else, but I've had a pretty tough week. So before I start, I don't want anyone listening to this to think, I want them to feel sorry for me. There's plenty of people that suffer adversity on every day of their lives, and so I'm not singling myself out for sympathy or anything like that. And I've had people reach out to me. You wouldn't believe the people who have reached out to me who have suffered similar episodes in their life. Neil Danaher, the great Neil Danaher, reached out to me, and I'll get over what I've experienced in the last couple of days or a week, and Neil probably will live with what's happening to him forever. So I don't want, and then there'll be a significant number of people that won't have no sympathy for me, and that's fine too. They'll say I've got what I deserved and good luck and good riddance and all that, and I understand that, and I don't mind if you have that opinion of me and what's happened to me. That's fine, because I'm a polarizing influence, I suppose, and if you don't like me, you'll say, well, I'm glad it's happened to me. I've said this all along, if you don't want to know what people say about you, well, don't read the social media, or if you do, don't take it to heart. So I'll just say that now. I'm not sure that things prepare you for... I've never experienced what I've experienced in the last few days. I was there when my father died, who was 96. He was ill, and my mother died when she was 94. And that's about the only heartbreak I've had as far as... But I'm not sure that I'll get through saying what I want to say, because I'm happy to speak about anything else. But when I speak about this matter, I get a bit emotional. Now, I know you two are sitting there and you've been great support, both of you. You're sitting there thinking, what am I doing? And if you don't want to listen to this, go and get a coffee. And if anyone's listening to this and they think this is cringeworthy, what I'm about to say, or honestly embarrassing, turn on and listen to the next two segments that we're going to do, because we're going to do a couple of more segments and then we're going to interview someone. But I'm not sure... I don't even know where to start. After I found my wife of 6 months, when I got home, after the coroner and the police had been in the ambulance, I got into bed. Now, here's an interesting thing. You'll just have to pardon all this crap. We probably won't put this to him. But I sleep on the left-hand side of the bed. And my partner, Amanda, sleeps on the right-hand side. When I got into bed after the ambulance had gone and the police and the coroner, I didn't do this. I didn't think about this. I just instinctively got into her side of the bed. And I was lying there for about half an hour and I thought, what am I doing on this side of the bed? I don't know why I even mentioned that. Anyhow, so I tried to go to sleep. Wow. So at about the coroner left at about 1 a.m. and at about 2:30 I thought I'll have a crack at going to sleep. And of course I couldn't, so I got up and I went out to the kitchen, and I thought I'd write. This is about 12 hours after I found Amanda, and I wrote, just wrote this, and I'm going to read it out because this is probably the, and if you think I'm doing this to have people say, oh, this is pathetic, or oh, isn't this great, or I'm doing this so people will listen and we'll get our ratings up. We don't give a stuff if anyone listens to this. We don't rely on ratings. We don't rely on people listening to it because we don't solicit money to do this. So we're just doing it for our own interest. So I'm not doing it for any of those reasons, but I want to do this, and I want to do this. So I got up and I wrote this about, so I'd been working on a boat, which Amanda hated, incidentally, and I was working with someone on it, 300 metres from where she was. And Rod here, I rang him, and we were going down to get some fish and chips to eat for dinner, and I thought Amanda might want to come with us. And I'm happy to say all this. And we get down to where we were going, Kippers down in Werribee, great fish and chip shop. And I'd tried to ring her to ask if she'd wanted to come down. I'd rang her six times. And I thought, so we got down there and we're sitting around eating the fish and chips. And I said, I wonder where Amanda is. And we all, I don't know if I should say this, Rocket, should I say what we were talking about?
No. Oh, yeah, go on.
Because it's, so we're joking about, she might be out. Out at a venue or out the pub or out with the girls or out with doing something. And I said, I said, she's probably lying dead up in the flat. Just as how, you know, as an aside. And then I said, oh, she could have been in an accident. So I get home and I walk in the door. In the door, and the television's on in the bedroom. So I look down there, and lying in her, she was in sort of her underwear. She'd obviously been in bed, or she'd got out of bed to get something to eat or go to the, I don't know. And she's lying there on the tiles outside the laundry. And as soon as I saw her, I knew she was dead. I just knew it. So I rang 000, and the very helpful person on the end of the said, you better try and give CPI or CPR or whatever it's called. And she talked me through that. I got the phone on speakerphone, and I'm pumping this poor woman who's lying there looking so peaceful, obviously to me, obviously dead. But the operator said, just keep doing it in case there's a spark of life in her, I think she said. So I did that for 20 minutes, giving CPR to what I knew was a corpse. So then everyone arrived, and so then when it all ended, they went and I was futile trying to get into bed after that. So I thought, well, what else do you do? So I lay down for half an hour, and then I got up and I wrote this, and I'm going to read this out. And the people who have reached out to me have been, had some unbelievable messages. So I wrote this, and I'm going to read this out. And as I say, we probably won't put this, upload this, but I'm just doing this for my benefit. So you'll have to bear with me. And this was just off the top of my head when I wrote it. So I'll read it because I typed it out. So this is on the 2nd of May, 2021. And I wrote this. It's been, if you boys want to, I know you're sitting there thinking, shit, what am I doing? And I understand that. But anyway, I'm going to read it out and I'll say we probably, it's been 24 hours since I wrote this. It's been 24 hours since I arrived home and found dear Amanda lying on her side on the tiles beside the laundry. She was not fully clothed, and as the television was on in the bedroom, I presume she'd got up to grab a bite or go to the bathroom. She looked so gentle and calm and innocent, but somehow I knew instantly she was dead. It's difficult to describe the feeling of having the 000 number on speaker phone while the operator talked me through the CPR technique, which I continued for a futile 30 minutes while waiting for the ambulance. This is by no means a criticism of the instructions or the time the ambulance took to arrive, but more the desperation of feeling completely helpless as the woman I married six months ago ceased to be. So why am I writing this? Maybe it's cathartic, or maybe I want to share what a relationship means to me. Because at 75 years of age, it's taken 75 years to discover the formula. I've married and loved a number of women, and for extended periods of time have enjoyed an harmonious existence with them all, but sadly, not an everlasting one, obviously. The reasons they did not endure are complex, yet so simple. Restlessness, tension, ego, simmering angst, and above all, stubbornness to yield, bedevil many partnerships. In her 20s, Amanda's mission in life was for me to be her man. She told her, she told the person she lived with, a boy, as much. Restlessness, I suppose. She was restless, not happy with, I don't know what. I didn't write that, but restlessness. I kept noticing her at the same place as I was at and enjoyed her company. I thought it was just a coincidence. But it wasn't. She wanted me. I knew exactly where she came from and what she did. And while my friends were somewhat bemused, my friends are real friends. They're unconditional. For the last 15 years, we lived together. And had not one verbal or physical confrontation. Some strong words occasionally, for sure. But she had the knack of not prolonging such rifts due to her innate nature of compromise. I never felt any pressure to conform or adhere to the tacit universal rules of cohabitation. And therein lies the contradiction. Put no tension on a relationship and calmness prevails. I have never been happier in the last 10 years. And arriving home at the end of a day was such a genuinely pleasant thing I looked forward to, as there was never any harbouring angst pent up in either of us. If there is a greater presence guiding us, I'd like to think that it is why I planned to marry her 6 months out from her 50th birthday. So on the 20th of November 2020, she opened a knock on the door and in the presence of my friend and celebrant Greg Evans, my dear and longtime friend Kevin King, and my eldest son Jack, we became... Mr. and Mrs. Newman. I have never seen someone so happy with genuine pride to be my wife, and I thank God for the memory of that day. God. She was loyal and loving, concerned and protective, astute and as strong-willed as any person I've ever met. I will always love her for what she was and who she was. Now, this is it. Yes, I'm finishing now, so you can... an adage I've cited often when people face adversity is never... this is the adage, never cry over things that can't cry over you. I've cried a lot over Amanda Newman. And finally... another adage I value, and this is it. There are many things in life that catch your eye, but only a few things catch your heart. Pursue those. Amanda Newman certainly caught my eye, and above all, she caught my heart. Okay, that's it. I'm glad I've done all that, and I say we probably won't do that, but I wanted to say all that. So that's it. Thank you.